So on Sunday, we looked at the book of Ecclesiastes. And the message was titled Ephemeral. This word ephemeral means something that is fleeting, elusive, even transient. It's something that's passing, short-lived, even momentary. Solomon begins this book of Ecclesiastes by saying, everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. In the New King James, it would say, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, you've had an opportunity for a few days to absorb this message and to consider what is meaningless, what is vain, what is fleeting in your life. This word, hevel, used for vanity or meaningless, is used 38 times in this book. So it's a theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. And it literally means vapor, mist, or mere breath. Solomon describes this as chasing the wind. Solomon had everything. He was king of Israel. And he had everything the world had to offer. He had wisdom and power and wealth and romance. He had national peace and international peace. Yet he concluded that everything was meaningless, completely meaningless. Now, we need to note the context. Over 30 times in this book, the term under the sun or under heaven is used. And so when Solomon is saying everything is meaningless, everything is vanity, he's primarily speaking of that which is under the sun, that which is earthly, that which is worldly. Now, we looked on Sunday at a few of these items that Solomon said was under the sun and meaningless. One of those areas was the area of seeking meaning and wisdom and understanding. And we looked at this on Sunday. Solomon said, I devote myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom, everything being done under heaven. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. And he concluded that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater the wisdom, the greater the grief. The greater the knowledge, the increase in sorrow. Now, we discussed on Sunday that we've actually transitioned as a society some 3,000 years later from this informational age that we've been in, for the last 30 years to since the mid-1900s, actually, to the experience age, which we're living in now. As far as what is true, that has lost gravity in our culture today. Today, it's about what we feel that matters. We've transitioned from what's information, what's data, what's truth, to an age where what we experience is more important. We want a platform to express our ideas and our opinions. That's the age we live in today. But as we go through the information age or the experience age, and we look back over the last 3,000 years since Solomon penned this letter to us, have we really gotten any better? Have we grown in the areas of psychology or criminology or sociology or ethics or even mental health? See, Paul says in the New Testament that the wisdom of this world, it's foolishness in God's sight. So we need to ask ourselves what wisdom we're chasing. We also looked at on Sunday at the idea of pursuing pleasure for purpose and for meaning. And Solomon said this. He tried this. He said, come on, let's try pleasure. In chapter 2, verse 1, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. And certainly we know what that's like. We live in America. But Solomon said, I found this too was meaningless. He talked about building huge homes and beautiful vineyards and gardens and parks and fruit trees, which to the natural man is pleasant. He talked about having servants and singers and a ton of money and having innumerable romances. Perhaps this is what inspired his romance, the Song of Songs, we don't know. But he speaks of all the pleasures in this life. He said, I looked at all of it, everything, and was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind, grasping at smoke. There was nothing really anywhere worthwhile. I think we see this firsthand. If you've been on some domestic missions trips where we've done disaster relief work. I remember driving through Hattiesburg and Holly Springs, even downtown New Orleans and looking at the devastation caused by tornadoes to houses and homes and properties, going through a neighborhood where half of a house was missing, and a trailer court where the trailers were just turned upside down and just crumbling because a tornado had gone through and destroyed everything. It's not that these items, these things aren't important to us, it's that they're not eternal. They're not lasting. A tornado in a blink of an eye can destroy all that we've worked so hard for. See, Paul reminds us in the New Testament that the present form of this world is passing away. We may not realize it, but it is, whether we like it or not. It is passing away. So what pleasures are we living for? We ask that on Sunday. Or how about hard work? We live in the Midwest. We discuss this as well. Hard work is a value to us here in the Midwest. And we believe it is meaningful. It's a way to not only bless ourselves and our purpose, but future generations. Yet Solomon said, I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. He said, this too is meaningless. It's a great tragedy. What do people do? What do people get in this life for all their hard work, all their anxiety? He says, their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. It's a dark letter, a deep letter. Just an illustration of this. The other night, Caleb Dressel, he's an Olympian for the United States. He's won 5 gold medals during this Olympic season. The most decorated American in the Olympics this year. Really the face of the American Olympics. And he was in an interview with NBC discussing his medals after winning 5. He was asked how he was doing, what he was feeling now, having completed all of his races and winning 5 gold medals. His response was, it's kind of miserable. It's a lot of hard work. You don't sleep right when you're there. And when you're done, your body gets sick, very sick, from all it's been doing and all you've been pushing it through. He wasn't trying to be unappreciative, but he was being honest. All of his hard work, his 5 gold medals, I'm sure he appreciates the gold medals, but he said, really, it's kind of miserable. It's a lot of work. You don't sleep right. Your body gets sick. What are we working for, Christian? Now, I want to note that ephemeral is not to be equated with evil. It's not that ephemeral is a bad thing. God created this world, and he created things for us to enjoy. The issue is that ephemeral is just not eternal. It's not everlasting. And so what we need to be concerned with is what's lasting. We eat, we drink, those are temporary things. And even Paul says, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So we are to live in this temporary world with temporary bodies and do what we do for the glory of God. Now, moving on from what we discussed on Sunday, perhaps this discussion is more apparent as we get older. You know, perhaps when we start looking back over all we've done at the end of our life under the sun, we will see what Solomon's saying is more of a reality. You know, the experience age that we live in today is probably more exciting when you're 20 than the experience age when you're 80. It's probably just not quite as pleasant. And Solomon tells us, he says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. Okay? Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. This is in chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. He says, honor him, honor God in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him, God, before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes, and the rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him, God, before your legs, he calls them the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, which he refers to as the strong men, stoop. So before your legs start to tremble and your shoulders stoop, remember him, God, before your teeth stop grinding and before your eyes see dimly. Remember him, remember God, before the door of life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a grasshopper and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him, God, before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. See, the experience of life is not so pleasant when we grow old. If you haven't watched Grumpy Old Men, you should watch it, and it's a good illustration of this. See, our eyes, they go dim, our teeth rot, our strength gives out, our energy dissipates, our joints get stiff, and arthritis sets in. You know, just the other night, I'm only 43, but I was mowing and doing yard work, and I threw out my back. And the other morning, my wife had to help me get dressed to go to work because I couldn't move anything. Our bodies are wearing out. Our bodies are ephemeral. Our health is elusive. Our time, it's fleeting. That's why Solomon says, for everything there is a season. There's a time for every activity under heaven, including a time to live and a time to die. What are we living for? Solomon tells us, remember him. I think it's interesting. I was just in conversation today with an author who has put together one of the best marriage workbooks that I have ever used. I personally went through it with my wife 15 years ago when we were engaged, 16 years ago. And it's still being used today. It's my highest recommendation for anybody who's in pre-marriage counseling. Mike and Jewel Williamson. I was just in conversation with him today. A while back, I ordered some new books for a couple that is going through pre-marriage counseling. And he said just to hold on. He was in the emergency room and he'd get the order out. And I asked him what was going on, and he explained to me what was going on. Let me read you his words. This is Mike Williamson, author of the book Building Your Marriage Upon the Rock. Mike says this. He says, Jewel, his wife, had brain surgery 6 years ago to partially remove a tumor. She's done very well these 6 years, but now is having a few new types of seizures, the cause of which has not been identified. She is 80 years old and very much weakened and bedridden for long periods each day. So things are just slowly wearing out. But except for the physical deterioration, our spirits are mostly up. In endeavoring to keep our eyes on God, His Son, and the kingdom of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. And our new bodies, he says with an exclamation mark. Solomon is telling us that in this life, we need to remember him. There is eternity ahead. And Solomon recognizes eternity beyond this life. He said, God has planted eternity in the human heart, in Ecclesiastes 3:11. And now eternity is the opposite of ephemeral. All right, eternity endures forever. It's abiding. It's everlasting. It's never ending. Eternity is imperishable, unfading, immortal. So, eternity is something worth considering and remembering as we live out this life. To Solomon, eternity was a bit of a mystery. He didn't have the full picture as he wrote Ecclesiastes to us. In fact, he admitted that. He says, after he says God has planted eternity in the human heart, he goes on to say, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. To him, there was still nothing new under the sun. He just understood there was an eternity out there somewhere, which was a mystery to him. So he concluded at the end of his book, fear God and obey his commandments, for that is man's duty. And that is true. To Solomon's understanding under the old covenant, that was what our relationship with God and the eternal was, to fear God and obey his commandments. For Solomon, there was nothing new under the sun. But for us, according to the New Testament, according to Jesus' words, a greater than Solomon has come. He brought us a new covenant by his blood, a new testament according to his grace. He brought us new life by his power. He gave us a new heart by his spirit. And the mystery for Solomon has been revealed to us, which Paul says is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This Christ will one day create a new heaven and a new earth. He'll, according to Revelation, wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death, no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. Helen Keller once said, death is no more than passing from one room into another. But she goes, there's a difference for me, you know, because in that other room, I'm going to be able to see. See, we're on this earth temporarily. In this time we have, this Christ of ours has given us a couple simple directions. To love God and to love people. Why are we living here? To love God and to love people. What are you living for, Christian? Spurgeon once said, never fear dying, beloved. Dying is the last, but the least matter that a Christian has to be anxious about. Fear living. That is a hard battle to fight, a stern discipline to endure, a rough voyage to undergo. Christian, do you want to be wise? According to Christ, love God and love people. Do you want no pleasure? Then we must love God and love people. Do we want fulfilling work? Then we are to love God and love people. Do we want to really live, Christian? Then love God and love people. We're going to break into our groups and go into discussion. And I'm going to pray for you guys to have a great and blessed evening. May the Lord be with you. God, thank you for this opportunity to discuss all you mean to us. Our lives are not meaningless in light of you and what you've done. You've given us purpose. You've given us an opportunity to live for a reason. We ask as we go into discussion now and consider the things you're teaching us, that we would know how to apply what we're learning and what we're supposed to do with this life. We pray you'd go with us now. Bless our evenings. Bless those who are joining us over the internet and watching this online, that we all may know our purpose in this life, to love you, to love others, and to give ourselves to that duty. Amen.